This hour, we will take your phone calls as we talk about prophecy with Carl Gallup, author of The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Carl Gallup's with us. Carl, before we go to the phone calls, and they are lining up for you, let's talk about the Antichrist.
Yes.
Exactly what does this mean, the Antichrist?
Yeah. Well, the term Antichrist really is only used in the book of 1 John, I think 2 John as well. That's the same author that wrote the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. Actually, the book of Revelation doesn't even use the term Antichrist, but that term is used because it speaks of one whom the Bible prophesies. From Old Testament to New Testament, he's often called, it's spoken of a person, a man in the very last days, that is before the return of the kingdom of God, who will embody the spirit of Satan himself, really. Of course, most of the world won't realize this, and even many in the world will kind of worship this man as some kind of Messiah. But the various titles for him are man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one. That's from 2 Thessalonians. From the book of Daniel, the little horn, the coming prince, the king of the north. Revelation 13 calls him the beast. John speaks of the Antichrist. So again, there are all manner of eschatology schemes about the Antichrist and exactly when he will appear and how the rapture will be connected to his coming. But the bottom line, George, generally speaking, is the Bible is clear, Old and New Testament, that in the very last days, before the setting up of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, before his return, before the coming of the Messiah.
Before the return, which could be soon, based on Kaduri.
It could be. And based upon these convergence of prophecies that you and I were discussing earlier, I think we're living in very prophetic times. I think it will be very soon. I'm not setting dates and times. Soon may be 5 years, it may be 50 years, maybe 100 years, but it's soon. But the bottom line is, generally speaking, the Scripture clearly says, clearly teaches, I believe, that in the last days there will be one who will arise on the face of the earth to whom the leaders of the nations will look to as one who can bring problems, who can solve the problems, the terror of the world, who can solve the problems of the world, the economic problems, the terror problems.
Well, it sounds like everybody will think this is a pretty genuinely nice person.
Yes. Oh, I think at first, I think the Scripture is pretty clear that at first the Bible says, and I'm going to be doing a lot of paraphrasing in this, but that he will come and people will be proclaiming peace and safety. This man's bringing us peace. He's bringing us safety.
Wow.
People will say, look, he's probably the Messiah. He's a Messiah. He's a Savior of some sort. But then it will turn south. It will turn quickly sour. And the Scriptures proclaim that he will really particularly lash out against Christians and, yes, Jews as well, as apparently Jews and Christians will begin to understand that this man is not the Messiah. This is not who we're looking for.
Is he or she on the planet now?
Yeah. Well, the Scripture identifies him in the male form, so I don't use the word she, but...
Okay. He can rule out some people.
Yeah. So is he on the planet now? Well, you know, that speculation has been going on for centuries, George, and some over the last several centuries has proclaimed that this person is on the face of the planet now. I don't know, and I'm not going to attach that title to a specific person yet. And the reason I use the word yet is because, look, I'm a pastor. It's my job to discern the times in which we live. And if one arises who seems to meet all of these, you know, various prophecies, and it just seems to all line in place, I will step forward and identify if God, you know, puts me in those days. But look, the Scripture says that when he comes, that people will know, people who know the Word of God, we will know. He's going to throw truth to the ground. Everything he says and does will be a lie. Everything will be a fabrication.
How will we know?
How will we know what?
That it's all a lie.
Well, according to the Word of God, if I understand it correctly, those who belong to the Lord will have that discernment from the Spirit within us, from the Holy Spirit within us. We will have the ability to discern between the truth and alive.
You'll just know.
We'll know. But, we'll know because we can measure it through the Word of God.
But not everybody will have that ability.
No, not everybody will. I said early on in our show that I come from a biblical worldview. That is, I measure what the world calls truth. I measure it first through the Word of God. That's how I determine if it's a truth or a lie. And this is, I believe, the key in the last days for those discerning what is true and what is not, to measure it through the truth of God's Word. So, generally speaking, the Bible proclaims that there will be this one, this man of lawlessness, who will come in the last days, to whom the world will generally look. And if I understand the Scriptures correctly, he will issue some decrees that the whole world will follow. There will be a marking system. There will be a monetary system. There will be kind of a one-world kind of government, even leaning heavily into a one-world kind of religion as the world just kind of comes around this man and begins to hold him up as the savior of the world. It's going to get pretty dark, George, if I understand it correctly.
Let's take some calls for you. We'll go to Steve, first of all, in Commack, New York. Thanks for calling, Stephen.
Yeah, I'd like to ask your guests, where in the world do you find Russia in the Bible? Because all the experts, secular and religious, say Russia is not in the Bible. Rosh means prince in Hebrew. Gog means Gyges of Lydia. That was in Turkey. Meshek and Tubal is in Turkey. Even the Russians don't come from Russia.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that name Russian is an English name. It's not a Russian name.
Well, no.
It's the name of Rus with the Vikings.
Yes.
The Vikings were the real Russians, not the Russian people. The Russians are Slavs and Finno-Ugric people from Poland and Eastern Germany.
Yeah, okay, Steve, thank you. Listen, you've raised a very valid point, and a lot of biblical scholars and prophecy experts raise the same points that you're raising. As I said earlier, that I was going to paraphrase and extrapolate some of these terms from this table of nations in Genesis 10 that's listed in Ezekiel 38. But there have been, Steve, I'm just going to say that there have been prominent Bible scholars for hundreds of years who have interpreted the terms of Gog and Magog as coming from what we now know as the land of Russia or the Russian states or the old Soviet Union. And that's all debatable, Steve. Look, some of that's debatable. But, of course, it also says in Ezekiel 38 that Persia will be a part of this. Well, Persia comes from Iraq and Iran, and so we know where that is. And as you said, Tubal and Meshach and some of these tribal names, what's interesting, Steve, and is that some of these tribal names are in the current history books of some of these modern nations. They actually teach in their schools that, look, we are descendants of these people, these tribal names, tracing back to Genesis 10, the Table of Nations. So you know, whereas there may be debate over specific names, Steve, of specific nations, we do know that this time of turmoil, this time of trouble, this time of plotting against Israel will arise out of that area of the world, involving primarily Iran and Persia, Iran, Iraq, that area, aligning itself with perhaps the area of what we now know as Russia, and then Turkey and Syria and Lebanon, et cetera. Egypt and Libya, those are mentioned, those by name in that prophecy. So listen, Steve, your observation is very astute. There are those that agree with you, but you need to know and understand that there are also Bible scholars who do believe that what we now call Russia is mentioned in the Scriptures through the terms of Gog and Magog.
Gog and Magog, indeed. In China, too, probably, huh?
Perhaps. Some people see that, and not only there, but in the book of Revelation and the prophecy of the sixth trumpet that will blow in the last days, the trumpet being meaning a warning from God himself from heaven, the forming of a 200 million man army along the Euphrates River in the Middle East for what looks to be like a World War III sometimes in the last days. So some people believe that maybe China would be involved in that as well as in some of those tribal names. But hey, I got to add this though, George. When we talk about fielding a 200 million man army, that sounds unthinkable to us. I mean, World War II, there were 200 million people that participated in that war, but that took all the nations of the world to field that army. But listen, now we know that in the Middle East alone, in the 17 nations and then the couple of Palestinian areas of West Bank and Gaza, in the Middle East alone, there are over 400 million people, 315 million of those are Muslim, So we can see how very easily, with other nations like Russia getting involved, maybe China, the United States, Great Britain, the Muslim nations, we can see how you could easily field a 200 million man army in the Middle East in the day in which we live.
We go next to Culver City, California. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, George and Mr. Gallup. Hey. Yeah, whether or not the Antichrist appears, Ariel Sharon still has to go through that supernatural spiritual process of once again seeing all the people that he ordered killed or who he personally killed himself, since there's life after death. My question is this, Mr. Gallup, what do you think becomes of Sharon during this transition period and meeting with the dead he was responsible for having killed? And I'll take your answer off there.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Well, that's kind of a loaded, loaded question, but, you know, because I cannot speculate on Ariel Sharon's spiritual condition. The Bible says that God knows the heart of a man and speaks to the heart and soul of a man. I don't know in those 8 years what Ariel Sharon experienced spiritually. I don't know what he experienced spiritually before that. I do know, again, I don't want to sound too preachy, but I do come from a biblical worldview, from particularly a New Testament worldview. I do know that there is no salvation outside of proclaiming Yeshua, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. I don't know that Ariel Sharon did that. But again, this is in God's hands. If God is using Ariel Sharon and using him as a time marker, that's God's prerogative. And Ariel Sharon does not have to be saved, if you will, does not have to belong to God in order for him to do that. God used Pharaoh. I mean, you know, God used Balaam. God spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament scriptures. So God can use whomever he wishes, whenever he wishes, however he wishes, in order to get his truth to the world. And I believe we're living in those prophetic times, Jeff. I don't want to speculate on Ariel Sharon's spiritual condition. That's a very intimate and personal relationship with him and the Lord. But again, I will proclaim only what the Bible proclaims, that no one is made right with God until they proclaim and trust that Yeshua Jesus is Lord.
Charles is in Baltimore, Maryland, and on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, Charles.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
How can you say all this when we had a big, exciting event that was supposed to have happened in 2011 with Brother Camping with Family Radio? He was sure it was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And yeah, what's going to happen when all this climaxes and nothing happens?
Yeah,
it's going to die down again, and people are going to be disappointed once more.
Well, Charles, listen, you've raised a very valid point, and may I say to you, my friend, I've made it very clear in the show tonight and in the book and in the movie and in my 30 years of very public and now worldwide ministry, I have never, ever set a date and a time. In fact, this story that I'm relating, this account of the Yitzhak Kaduri account, the rabbi who found Messiah, I'm merely telling the story. Now, listen, I'm not trying to walk the fence on this, but I'm just trying to assure you and to tell you, let not your heart be troubled. I am not a Harold Camping. I'm not running around claiming the sky is falling. I'm not saying let's go put on white sheets and stand on a mountaintop because on a certain day things are going to happen. I'm saying, as a student of the Word and prophecy and a preacher and teacher of the Word for 30 years, we are living in prophetic times. A convergence of prophecies are happening, biblical prophecies. Forget what Yitzhak Kaduri said. Just pretend like he didn't say anything. We are living in undeniably prophetic times, and that's all I'm proclaiming. Now, on top of that, Charles, on top of that, you have Muslims having Jesus dreams. Now we've got a rabbi, the most famous rabbi in Israel's history. He's having Jesus dreams. We've got, you know, Fox News analysts having Jesus dreams. We've got Ariel Sharon being connected to all of this, and he's in a coma, not for 8 days, for 8 years and 7 days. So, you know, four blood moons coming this year. These are the things that George and I were talking about earlier, Charles, and I'm not proclaiming dates and times. I'm just saying unequivocally we are living in prophetic times, and that's all I'm saying. We need to watch the signs of the times around us, Charles. God bless you for your question. That was a very good, very good question.
I'll ask you the question because I have to, Carl. What are the possibilities that the second coming, Jesus, that it could be all ET related, extraterrestrial related?
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, that, thank you for asking me that, George.
Had to ask.
Do we have another 2 hours? Let me give you the short answer, okay? There are people who speculate that that's going to be the case. Now, here's what I say to that. If there's any extraterrestrial appearances, if there's any ET appearances, I firmly believe that we would be looking not at the coming of the Christ, but we would be looking at demonic activity. Because there's, you know, I'm going to say it again. I come from a biblical worldview, and the Bible is pretty clear that that this planet is the apple of God's eye, that humankind is the apple of God's eye, that Jesus, you know, he came and went to a cross, rose from the dead for us, for humans, and for our salvation. For God so loved the world, this earth, that he gave his only begotten Son. So when we hear people speaking, listen, I don't doubt people's stories. I know you have them on your show from time to time, and they're having these visitations. And I just, you know, in my humble opinion, I could be proven wrong, but in my opinion, and from what I know from God's word and from common sense and from science, I would imagine that any kind of manifestations like that would be from a demonic delusion. And you know what, George?
Some people believe that, Carl. You're not alone on that.
Yeah, well, I know. And you know what, though, George? The Bible says that in the last days, now listen to this, that there will be a delusion that will be so powerful, it will sweep the world. And the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, but the Bible says that even the very elect, that is those that know the word of God through and through, even they could be deceived if that were possible. In other words, they won't ultimately be deceived, but this will be such a powerful delusion that even Bible knowledgeable person, born-again believers will say, oh my gosh, is this what it is? But it will be a deception. And I think, George, again, I could be proven wrong, but I think that may be tied in to some type of an extraterrestrial manifestation.
That could be. Now, where do people get to see the movie of The Rabbi Who Found Messiah?
Yeah, well, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in any good bookstore. It's a documentary movie. We're getting feedback from all over the world. People are saying, man, this is History Channel quality, and it really is. It's good
for you.
You get it on Amazon. You get it at W&D Superstore. You can get it, you can get it at Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, anywhere where books and DVDs are sold.
All right, well, you stay with us, Carl. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with you. It is a split show, so next hour I'll be talking with Ed Opperman about how to succeed as a private investigator. It's an amazing story on some of the things you can find as an investigator. I mean, truly amazing. And we'll be back in a moment with Carl Gallups. And by the way, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Simply go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and in the far right-hand corner, just click it, fill out the information, and there you are. Well, take a moment and watch our Beyond Belief television program. Doc Joel Wallach is going to be our special guest, talking about all kinds of incredible things that you can do to help take care of yourself. Beyond Belief, we had record subscribers last week. Let's do it again this week. 10 days to look at it for free. So watch Dr. Joel Wallach by simply going to beyondbelief.com, B-E-Y-O-N-D, beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Carl Gallup's with us. Carl, where does Satan, the devil, fit into all this?
Yeah. Well, you mean into the end time prophecies?
Yeah.
In the Antichrist? Yeah. Well, of course, the scripture is clear, beginning in the book of Genesis, that Satan, is a created being, but his whole purpose, it seems, in life has been rebellion against God, rebellion against God's creation, the downfall of God's creation, because it's a spit in God's face. And I liken it to this illustration. It's as though, George, you were on the beach and you were this, world-famous sand sculptor, and you sculpted this, you know, monumental, unbelievably intricate castle out of sand. It was just a work of art beyond belief. And along comes another guy who calls himself a sand sculptor, and he makes some pretty incredible stuff. But he looks at your castle there, and rather than marveling at it and admiring it and admiring you for building it, he becomes so mad that his goal in life is to destroy what you have built so that what he builds looks better. That's kind of a description of Satan. So he's got his hand in all of this, George, according to the Word of God. And in the very last days, his desire is to counterfeit what God has done. So as God has sent his Christ, Satan will send his Christ. We know him as the Antichrist, the antithesis of the Christ, the false Christ, the fake Christ. But he will do his best to make him look like the Christ of God. But the Bible says that the spirit of Satan himself, the power, the demonic power of Satan himself, will embody this man who will arise in the last days, to whom the world will look at first as a man of peace, a man of prosperity, a man who is going to solve world problems, but will soon be seen for what he is as he turns ugly and begins to control the world with an iron grip and a demonic presence. And that's how Satan figures into this. He figures into it from beginning to end, George.
I got to tell you, on one hand, Carl, it's kind of exciting to watch all this unfold, isn't it?
Well, you know, George, it is to me, too. Now, hear me. You said it perfectly on one hand. On the other hand, my heart is broken for people who don't see, who don't believe,
right,
who are not right with God. And the Bible says that, you know, in the last days, there will be people who just will not believe. They'll hold on to the bitter end in their unbelief. But for those of us who know the Word, for those of us who believe, for those of us who understand what the word end times means, not only is it exciting, but the Bible tells us, George, that we are to pray for these days. We're to pray for the speed, for the coming of these days, because this is the ultimate, this is the epitome of perfection for those that know the Lord when the Lord returns and sets up his rule and his reign. So yes, these are exciting days in which we live. And George, get this. In Acts chapter 17, there's a passage of scripture where it says that God has set the times and the days in which the people should live, and he does this so that men will fear him. You know what that means, George? If that passage is meant to be taken literally, that means you are behind that microphone and you are alive in these days, being used of God in many ways, not as an accident, not as a fluke of nature, but on purpose at God's direction. I am here on purpose. You and I are talking tonight, speaking to millions of people around the world on purpose. This story of Kaduri, if God is in this, that was done on purpose in these days, and you and I are talking about that, taking this word to the world. So, yes, these are exciting times in which we live, and you and I happen to be a part of these days in which we live. I can't think of a better time to be alive on the face of the earth.
Let's go to final phone calls now here while we have time. Dennis is in Philadelphia. Hey, Dennis, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I have a comment, a fast comment, and a question. As far as the comment goes, I can't see a better example of the end of times than the times that we are living in today. Where, you know, there are over 300 passages in the Bible where Jesus sides with the poor. As a matter of fact, Matthew, you know, of course, it says, you know, man cannot worship God and money at the same time. And we have a society that has become so greedy, narcissistic, and abusive toward one another for money, for things, for commodities. They're willing to kill each other for iPhones and eyeglasses with gold on the rim.
Or text messaging in a movie house.
Oh, you're fighting in malls at 2 o'clock in the morning for a sale at Walmart and so forth. But as far as the question goes, I'm sure you have heard this, but governments around the world, people have mentioned how they are periodically hearing these trumpets in the distance, and they've even been recorded. Have you ever spoken about this before?
Yeah, Dennis, thank you for both your comment and your question. Let me just say to the comment, man, you nailed it, Dennis. You're exactly right. In fact, there's a scripture, and I was desperately trying to remember the exact reference. I think it's in 2 Timothy. But the Apostle Paul says, you know, that the Spirit clearly says that in the last days, terrible times will come. And by the way, that word terrible kind of ties into the word terror or terrorism. Terrible times will come. And then it speaks of the massive greed that will grip the world and this this abusive nature, the hatefulness and the despising of family and parental abuse, and then it even speaks about the lust of money and the greed and how people will hold to a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So you nailed that, Dennis. You're right. As in addition to everything that George and I have been talking about tonight, you've added another prophetic convergence that we are witnessing, not just in America, not just in Europe, but across the world. But to your question, the trumpets and the sounds, Dennis, I got to say, I am aware of those stories. I have read some of them with utter fascination. I am not astute enough in all of the various theories about what those sounds are to speak intelligently, but I do know that there are people who have tried or who have claimed that they have refuted that this is anything supernatural, that it has to do with I forgot now, atmospheric conditions or something. So I don't really know what to say about it, except that it is fascinating. I wish that I was a little more up to date on that. George, do you know anything about
no,
it that you can speak to?
I do not.
Well,
do
not. You know, have you heard that, though? Because
yes.
I have, about the sounds.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been hums.
Yes.
Trumpet sounds, but nobody knows where they're coming.
Yes, in fact, I was on YouTube watching some of these and listening as some of these were recorded, and they're quite amazing. Make the hair stand up on your arms.
Right. They're also hearing these loud booms.
Uh-huh.
So nobody knows what's happening. Let's go to Aaron McKinney, Texas. Aaron, go ahead.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you, Carl and George, for this subject.
Yeah, thank you.
And I don't really so much have a question as just maybe a little bit of inspirational words for your listeners real quick, and I
okay.
won't take too much of your time. But I think God's law and man's law have been in conflict, science yeah. and religion, for quite a while. And that, as it says in Leviticus 26:12, God makes a promise, and that is that he will walk among us. And as far as an antichrist, I mean, Jesus paid the price. So just in my opinion, there really is no enemy. There is definitely evil out there. But as the Bible also promises, all evil indeed will be cast out, all evildoers.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, Yeshua is supposed to come back as the Lion of Judah, as still a loving being and just the truth. And the end of times, not necessarily, this is just my opinion, but it's really more like the beginning of the way the world is supposed to be.
Yes, that's what I said. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as far as the aliens go, I mean, it's not necessarily a demonic thing because something had to create the aliens also.
Yeah. Well,
and so it's, I just look at it as the victory is the Lord's. And I appreciate this topic tonight because yeah. It was a good time for me to call in.
Well, Aaron, before you get away, let me just say, McKinney, Texas, that's awesome. Do you happen to know of Dr. David Reagan, Lamb Lion Ministry, Christ and Prophecy TV, right there in McKinney, Texas?
No, I haven't heard of him.
Oh, you need to check him out. He wrote the foreword to my book. He's a prince of a gentleman,
he
and he's located right there in McKinney, Texas. I was excited to hear that's where you were from.
Small world.
Yeah, it is. But Aaron, listen, I'm with you on that. Basically, what you're saying is that regardless of the details, regardless of the various scenarios and interpretations of the details, that in the end, if you belong to Jesus, we win. In the end, he rules and reigns. And you've got that right. That's exactly right. I would say that, you know, you brought this up about who created the aliens. If there's aliens, who created them? No, that's exactly right.
I mean, even the Catholic Church will admit that now.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You're right, George. But the Bible is clear that God has created everything that's in the universe. By the way, in the Bible says through Jesus Christ, he created the universe, and every power, every dominion, everything that has breath was created by the Lord God. So that's why I say there are multiple dimensions of reality. I mean, quantum physics has proven this. I wrote about that in my very first book, The Magic Man in the Sky. Quantum physics has proven there are multiple dimensions of reality, and the Bible tells us that. There are multiple dimensions of life and reality. So it's not beyond possibilities that this, what people are describing as extraterrestrials and aliens, is from what we would call the demonic dimension. It's dimension. It's real. It's physical. It's just as physical as we are. The illustration I use, George, if I can take just 30 seconds, is like a fish pond. Under the surface of a fish pond is a whole realm of ecological existence.
It's a whole world down there.
Yeah, a whole world. But through the skim of the surface on the outside is another universe of reality. Now watch. The fish doesn't even know that that exists. Yet it does. And it's physical. It's real. We're here. We're in that. Fish have no idea about our existence and who we really are and that we get in spaceships and go to the moon and fly through the air in aircraft. They don't have a clue about computers and skyscrapers and cities. They don't understand it. They would say to themselves, if they could talk in their little watery world, that nothing like that exists because they can't see it, they can't touch it, they can't feel it, they can't understand it, so therefore it doesn't exist. But you and I know that it does. Well, that's one of the messages of God's Word. Jesus came to tell us, look, there's a whole world outside of this world. We are not equipped to live in it yet, but we can get shadows of it. We can get glimpses of it. But Jesus came to tell us, look, there is a reality. It's real. It's physical. It's, I'm going to use the term flesh and blood, but just like a fish's flesh and blood is different than ours, it's different, but it's physical. It's real. And so this is what I would say to Aaron. Yes, when we're talking about extraterrestrials, I don't doubt the reality of these things. But I'm saying they are not our Savior. God is. The Lord Jesus Christ is. A spaceship comes down and says, I'm here to save you. Don't get on board.
It's a cookbook.
That's right.
Let's go to Larry in Greenville, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Hi, Larry. Go ahead. Larry, you with us? Well, Larry waited and waited.
Oh, I may have spoken too long. I'm sorry.
And waited. Well, that's okay. He was on hold for about 50 minutes. Derek is in St. Louis. Hey, Derek, good morning. Go ahead.
George, greetings from your hometown
here
in St. Louis.
Hi there.
Just got a question about the Damascus document. From what I understand, that is one of the final signs. And one night we'll go to bed, we'll wake up the next morning, and Damascus will be wiped off the face of the earth. And if people haven't accepted Jesus Christ by that time, they sure better hurry up. But I was just curious what you thought about that.
Yeah. Derek, I am not familiar with the Damascus document. Maybe you can enlighten me on that. I am familiar with prophecies and scriptures in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, I believe, and I think the book of Psalms, several. I don't have the scriptures right in front of me, but that speak of the destruction of Damascus.
It's part of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
It goes way, way back, and, you know, and it's tied into prophecy.
Okay, okay.
And so,
well, I'm familiar with the biblical documents and prophecies concerning the destruction of Damascus in the last days, that it will be a ruinous heap. And, of course, back just a few months ago, George, when all of the hoopla and buildup was building around Syria, and of course Damascus is...
I know.
Right. George, and I mean...
That's not over yet either.
No, it's not over. And I mean, what was it, Senator Lindsey Graham is famous, now infamous, for going on the mainstream media here some months back and says, look, if we don't attack Syria, we will be nuked. The United States will be nuked. We must attack Syria. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's not over with yet, and there is the possibility that we may be the generation that sees the destruction of Damascus.
Couple calls to go, Carl, and we're wrapping it up. Carl Gallup's, of course, the rabbi who found Messiah. All of this because Ariel Sharon has died, the former prime minister of Israel, who's been in a coma for years. And the rabbi who found Messiah in that book, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, predicted that the second coming would occur after Sharon died. Didn't say when, but simply said after. So it could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. Right, Carl?
Right. Well, that's right. He didn't say exactly when, but watch this, George. Two things he said that he got 100% accurate. He said the name of the real Messiah is Yeshua, Jesus. Well, according to the Word of God, he was dead on right. And he said that Yeshua would not come, would not appear before Ariel Sharon died. And, well, he got that right. So, I mean, he's batting 1,000 on that. But again, the urgency, the sense of urgency that for several years before he kept saying to the Jews, come back to Israel, come now. The Messiah is on his way. And then later he said, it's tied to the timing of Sharon's death. That's why prophecy watchers around the world are watching very carefully and very closely now, because he has just passed away.
Well, let's go to Hortonville, Wisconsin, for first-time caller Christine. Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Well, hello, George. Good evening. And may I call you Rabbi Carl?
Rabbi is the Jewish term for teacher, so that's fine. But yeah, I'm a pastor. Yes, go ahead, Christine.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that a couple of years back, when I could afford to get the Jerusalem Post sent to me here in the full of frozen tundra of Wisconsin, there was a picture in there, a photograph, rather, of Benjamin Netanyahu and a rabbi who practiced the Kabbalah. And the underneath the picture, it said that the Kabbalah rabbi said that Benjamin Netanyahu would be the prime minister who would be in charge when Messiah comes.
Wow. How about that for timing, Carl?
Yeah, that is amazing. Was that by chance Rabbi Kaduri? Because he and Netanyahu were very close, and of course Kaduri was involved in Kabbalah deeply. Was that by chance him, or do you recall?
I don't recall that, but that has always stayed with me, and I encourage everybody to pray for the peace of Jerusalem,
yes,
and to pray for a hedge of protection around Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, because the Bible does say, like you told us, that all the nations around Israel are going to rise up against her.
Yes.
And so we need to pray for the peace.
Well, we got to pray for a lot. Carl, we're out of time. Let's keep in touch. And I want to thank you again coming back at this short notice. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do keep in touch, George. And thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be with you. God bless you, my friend.
You take care. Carl Gallup's author of The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, up next. What's it like to be a real-life detective, private eye? We're going to check in with Ed Opperman on Coast to Coast AM.